And even though it's a little cold, that just means you get to wear your winter coat out tonight. You don't get to wear them two or three times a year. But appreciate you being here. Appreciate your willingness to pray and just cooperate. Whoever gave me this Zantac, if you want it, I'm trying to remember, was that you, Miss? If you want it, I know these things. I didn't actually have heartburn. I was down there trying to pray a while ago and had a little gravelly cough. But I do have an idea. Dana gave me these Alka-Seltzers. I may pop them in while I'm preaching. That foaming at the mouth might get somebody's attention. But take your Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 6. And this is a familiar passage of Scripture, familiar story. And I can't tell you the multitude of times I've heard it preached. As a matter of fact, I've heard Pastor Shelton preach on this not since he's been pastor, but I know he came through. I think he preached here Sunday morning, Sunday night, preached it, used it as a gospel message the Sunday morning and another application on Sunday night. But I want to give this to you just to be a help to you. That I'd really studied most of this out on Monday evening. And I was standing at the sink thinking about it, brushing my teeth on Tuesday morning. I thought, you know, that's not far from what Brother Hazlett preached at Jubilee. And but that's just what's on my heart. So we're going to go with that. And I talked to Pastor Shelton. He said, half of them probably won't remember anyway, so it'll be okay. But 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll read first 7 verses. Let's stand and honor the Word of God for just a minute. Bible says, and the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Now therefore he said, take it up unto thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Lord, I'm sure glad that you love me tonight. And I'm sure glad, Lord, that you're a dependable, trustworthy, faithful God. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be in your house and the folks that have come out. And Lord, now as we take time to turn to the Word of God tonight, I'm glad that it's not limited to me. I'm glad, Lord, that you can have already spoken just by the reading of the Word of God. I believe there's that much power in this book. And I pray, God, that you'd help your people. I can't read minds. I don't know hearts. And I don't know their answered questions, so I can't know the answers. But I'm glad I know one that does. And I pray, God, and ask you for just a little while that you'd meet with us. I pray that you'd, God, just touch my mind, loose my tongue, liberate this service, liberate the folks here, their minds, so they could hear in their heart, that they can receive, their ear, that they could hear. Help us, God, just to submit ourselves, God, and be willing to hear what you have for us tonight. And, Lord, if there's one here tonight that's never truly been saved, I just ask that the Holy Ghost would make that real to them. And God, you'd draw them to Jesus before it's too late. One more time, God, I ask that you'd touch my preacher tonight. Pray you'd give him exactly what he needs as he stands before those good folks up there at the Grace Tabernacle. God, I pray you'd help him and you'd meet with him in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, obviously, when you look at this text and just a little practical application, you can look and realize that little things matter to God. I know that we're told in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. Just glance, and if it matters to you, it matters to Him. And I say this a lot. Sometimes I feel like it's a whole lot easier for me to pray for your problems or your needs than mine, but I want you to know yours matter. And I say it and repeat myself again. If it matters to you, it matters to Him. And there's a little bit of lesson in that text. That's not the direction I'm taking tonight. I want to look at this axe head tonight. He's being a picture of the power of God. There are several great types in this text, and I'm not a good enough organizer to lay out all these types, but just in looking at the people in the building, it's a good picture of building a church and the efforts needed behind building the church and how God can help in that. But I'm not going to get into all in that kind of explanation. But I just want to preach a little bit about the lost axe head. The good news is I have 2 points. The bad news is I consolidated 2 into 1, so it makes 3, so it really doesn't matter. But the lost axe head, and give you just 2 things. Number one, I want you to see the trouble that was experienced. And we read in verses 1 through 5, we see just what's going on in this historical recording of this story. The axe head was lost. Let's look at number one, the fact of losing the axe head. Look at when they lost it. As we read this, these men have come, these sons of the prophets have come to Elisha, and they said, the place where we're at is too straight, it's too small for us, and we need to build a bigger school. And this is a noble task. I mean, it was good for how they did it. They didn't go out and say, let's go sell a bunch of candy bars, or let's have a bake sale and find somebody to do it for us. So let's just go to work. And boy, there's a great mentality in that thought process. But we see the purpose. It was too small. But then they had a plan. They said, let's go to Jordan. Let's take the wood and let's build it. And the great thing is that everybody participated. Notice some of the words in our text that we're reading tonight in verse number 2, he said, and take thence every man a beam. Notice that word, every man. Then he said, let us make us a place there. And then when you get over to verse 4, it says, so we went to Jordan with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. Now, if that's a picture of a church and a building of a church, tells me, looks to me like it wasn't a one-man show. It looks like everybody was pitching in and everybody was having a part in that. It seems like nowadays if we need something at church, let's hire somebody to do it. Let's put somebody else on staff and do it. But I want to tell you, it's always open. Everybody has a part in building the house of God. Say, what builds the house of God? What does it? Does it have to be somebody sitting in an office? Does it necessarily have to be somebody knocking on a door? Does it necessarily have to be somebody cleaning or teaching? I want to tell you, it starts in prayer. I tell you, we can have some prayer warriors. We can have some people telling the good story about Jesus Christ, because what's a church built with? It's built with people. And that's just a thought there. That's not the whole gist of what I'm after tonight, but they joined in. I encourage you, don't be a bystander. You know, nobody fusses more about having to be a bench warmer until they get to church, and they're glad to be a bench warmer at church. Amen? And it's no better to be a bench warmer here than anywhere else. I was thinking, I was trying to lead the choir the other week when I was hoarse, and I was trying to sing. I'm not used to singing like this. I am not built for that. Man, I'm open to singing by letter. Cut loose and let her fly. Amen. And I tell you, I'm for letting her rip, and I try to let her rip, and I don't know how people do that. I don't know how you do that not, but that's how I'm built. But everybody participating. But you know, they did one wise thing in doing this, is they asked the prophet, or asked Elisha to go with us. He said, come and go with us. Now I think about this man. I think of him, one, he could be like a man of God. And boy, thank God for men of God. Thank God for pastors that you can count on, and pastors that have the touch of God on their lives. And you know, a pastor is a great authority in your life. I've heard it said, people say, well, I don't need to listen to the preacher. I've got the Bible to tell me what to do. Well, that's interesting, because the Bible says to obey them that have the rule over you, for they watch for your souls. And that's, the pastor is a God-delegated authority in your life, and he does that with a great accountability for God. And it's a blessing to have a man of God, and it is a great blessing. Imagine not having one. I remember being in Bible college and hearing one of my teachers up there, Rick Safer was who it was, and he would remind us over and over again, so many times, the only thing between a church and a New Age version and a New Age type of worship and liberalism is the pulpit. And there's been many a church that have grown strong for years and done a great work, and one change in the pulpit and it turns and it goes to liberalism, goes another route. Boy, I thank God for men. I'm glad that God has blessed us with a pastor that wants to keep on going the old time way. That's how we can walk together. That's the direction that I'm going. That's the direction that I want to go. But they had a plea for him to come. It symbolizes the pastor, but also symbolizes the presence of God. Every church needs a pastor. Every church needs the pastor that God has ordained for them to have. But every church needs the presence of God. I think of how important that is. I remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt and said in Exodus chapter 33, and he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. You know, I noticed this as I was reading this. When you see this, the Bible says that one, in verse number 3 that one said, "Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants." And he answered and said, "I will go." One person asked. You know, I think of the value of that one. Boy, I hope there's plenty of people here tonight want the Lord's presence to go with them. I hope there's plenty of people that want the man of God's impact and leadership in their life. I want to tell you, I want to be that one. I'm glad that one person's prayers, one person seeking after the Lord, it's awful easy. Feel like sometimes you might be the only one doing something. And devil will tell you that. He'll tell you that. And then he'll tell you there's not enough to make a difference. Hey, it wouldn't have took but a handful to make a difference down there in Sodom. You remember the preacher preaching, or somebody preached about that recently. I might have read it. I don't remember. It didn't take but a handful. It didn't take the multitude. Hey, we've always been a minority. God said, hey, matter, here's the truth of the matter. He said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." An old man back up in Mary, North Carolina, Ray Long. Y'all remember Brother Ray Long up there, Brother Carroll? I've heard him preach. He said, "Me and God make up the majority." I like that. But I want to be the one. But I think about what's going on in our text. I mean, boy, the school seems to have gotten crowded. Maybe that's a good indication that the school is growing. People are trying to get to Elijah so they can be taught and replenishing the ranks and bringing up more men of God. And they're in the middle of this building project. They're in the middle of this ministry. It might be like today. Somebody could be in a mission field. Somebody could be teaching a Sunday school class. Somebody could be working with a youth group, working with children, doing whatever it is you do. And all of a sudden, you look up and lo and behold, you've lost the axe head. That's when they lost it. I mean, they weren't out goofing off, running around. And hey, I mean, boy, they were doing a good work, Brother Bill. They were busy going about the Father's business, and they lost the axe head. Now, let's think about this. I've looked about the fact of losing the axe head, but let's look at the futility after losing the axe head. See, when they didn't have the axe head, they didn't have the tool for the job. There's nothing more frustrating than having a Phillips screwdriver when you need a flathead. Because you're not going to turn the screw. You can beat that thing. You can turn it upside down. You can do whatever you want to do, but it's not the tool for the job. And boy, that's the thing about serving the Lord. There is one tool for the job, and it's the power and the anointing of God on their lives. Now, you think about this. He's swinging the axe. He has swung the axe, and somewhere, y'all ever used an axe like that? I remember growing up, we had an axe at our house that you'd swing a couple times, and you had to bang a handle on the ground to get the head to go back on. And y'all ever had to deal with a piece of equipment like that? And it just became a habit. Whack, whack, pop, pop. Whack, whack, pop, pop. And but if that thing flies off, suddenly you've just got a handle. When you take a handle and start trying to beat a tree to chop it down, you're more than likely to break your handle than to chop down the tree. You know, I won't get into the damage that does to the tree and what you're working on. That's beside the point, but it is awful damaging to try to operate in the Lord's work in a spiritual realm that the Spirit of God. You do more harm than good. And that's what this world's done. They've tried to replace the axe head with everything under the sun, bigger buildings, fancier music, bright lights, dances, and everything else, and there is no substitute for the power of God. There is no substitute for the axe. Now, I've thought about this, and I don't have an axe, but I have another way that I can illustrate this. I mean, the futility of trying to cut a tree down without an axe. Now, I'm gonna work with this a minute. And okay, Chad, turn this thing up. Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2, nothing's coming through here. He said, "Brother Tim, that's ridiculous. There's no microphone on there." Well, who'd have thought? That seems like a simple solution, but you know, it's like us trying to sing in a huge building without the tool. This is not going to work out like this. This is not made to sing into. This is not made to talk into. This is made to hold that microphone so that you can sing into it or play a guitar or whatever. That's the tool for the job. I can stand up here till I'm blue in the face. I can adjust this thing. I can go up and down, and I can move it over somewhere else, and I can try it in another building. I can try it in another church. I can try it in another Sunday school class. I can try it in another ministry. It's still not going to work. The tool's not there. And we need the tool for the job. That was pretty ridiculous, wasn't it? I mean, is that not pretty ridiculous? That's kind of goofy. But you know what? There might be people in this auditorium tonight. You try to serve the Lord like this every day of your life. There's churches all over Spartanburg County tonight trying to do a work for the Lord just like this. No juice, man. No juice. No axe head. And we've got to have the axe head. But you know, I think about this man. Would to God we could get the attitude of this man that was swinging the axe that night. Because when he swung, I think to do swung, I don't know which verb tense that is. I think with the irregular, you got to have a helping verb, but I don't know which one's the irregular. Susan Rogers, you might have to have, Sister Mia is here. She can help with that. Amen. He was swinging. We'll use that one. As he was swinging it, it came off. You know, the interesting thing is what we'll do is, oh, well, I'll just go home. But you know what he did? He looked and he realized something very important had happened. He lost the axe head. And boy, what this man did, he cried out. And that cry out was not a mashed finger cry out. That wasn't an old Mateau cry out. That was in grief. That's a cry out just like he'd have found out his best friend died. Because he lost something that was very important to him. There was great fear in losing that axe head. He cried out. Why was there such fear in there? It was seen because of the cry of the prophet, but because of the character of the axe head. We see a couple of things about this axe head. Number one, obviously it was borrowed. They were living under the law, and the law made some strict rules about using somebody's equipment. Now, if they were with you, if I was working with Terry and I broke one of his tools, it's Terry's problem. But if I borrowed the tool and I had it on my own, Bible says it like this, and if a man borrow aught of his neighbor, and it be hurt or die, or the owner thereof being not with it, he shall surely make it good. See, the problem was he's just a mere in the school of the prophets. And this axe, he knew there was no way that he could replace this axe. He couldn't make one. See, I can't make it up. I literally can't make a microphone. But he couldn't make an axe head. It had to come from the source that he got it from. It was borrowed. See, what we got to realize, this thing about the power of God, it's borrowed. Doesn't belong to us. It's a gift of God. The Bible says, for who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hast not received it? John 3:27 says, John answered, said, if a man receive nothing, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. James 1 said, every good gift cometh from above. And see, that's a gift of God. But not just is it barred, but I think of its value. And there's a lot of reasons to talk of value. Historically, a lot of times there weren't that many weapons in the land. Anytime somebody would come through and they'd face bondage, first thing they'd do, they'd take their weapons. You might need to file that little thought somewhere by on the side. But he didn't have the ability to make it. Didn't have the iron. What did he do? And see, I want to tell you, it ought to be valuable to us. When we come to a place, we got preacher boys in here, Sunday school teachers, choir singers. What is the most important thing when we get up and we go to work doing what we're doing? We got to have the axe head. We got to have the axe head. And we got to have that power and touch of God on us. It's a treasure. 2 Corinthians 4 says we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power of God may be of God and not of us. It's a treasure. Wow. What a treasure we have that God would look at somebody like me or somebody like you and he would decide to anoint you to testify or anoint you to witness or put the glow of God on you while you're singing or stir your heart while you're teaching those kids in that Sunday school class. Just kind of out of nowhere, God get on you and touch you and help you. That ought to be the most valuable thing in our lives is the touch of God. We've become so used to living without it. It doesn't seem to have that value. But there's a truth here I want us to look at, a truth that's exposed. We see the situation with the axe being lost. We've got a problem. Well, we've got to figure something out. We've got to figure out how we can get the axe back. Now, I don't know if you've lost the axe tonight, but I'm going to ask you. I don't want you to raise your hand. Have you lost the axe tonight? Or are you just swinging a handle? Have you lost the power of God in your life? Or do you want it back? I think we can just look at the recipe that's given us. We're given in these texts. Number one, you need to recognize that it's lost. Come on, Chad, turn it. Try one more time to turn this up. Problem's got to be up there. It can't be down here. I mean, I'm standing in the right place. I've got what I need. Come on, Chad. He won't even look at the board. I mean, it's got to be Chad's fault. That sounds familiar, don't it, brother? What do we need to do? Well, number one, you got to recognize that it's lost. Have you got it? Have you lost the power of God? But then not only recognize that it's lost, but you need to realize where you lost it. How many times have you fellas lost something? You're tearing the house down. You're looking everywhere and you start into the, it's been stolen. And then you look to your wife or the kids, they come to the parent and they always ask this one question. Where did you have it last? Where was the last place you saw it? Let me ask you something. Where was it? The last place. He was doing whatever it is you do for the Lord. Whether it's somewhere in the prayer room, whether it's trying to be a witness, whether it was singing or doing something for the Lord. That boy, you knew you had the touch of God on you and the power of God on you. Where was it? Where was it? Well, what has happened between then and now? Well, I can look back at times on my life. But I remember a time in my life, one time, man, I was just, you go through those times spiritually that you're dialed in. Man, I felt so in touch. I just felt like I was bumping into God everywhere. And then I looked up one day and it was gone. And I said, Lord, what happened? And I could trace it back to the spot. I could trace it back to exactly what happened that caused that to go away. And if you be honest, you can do that. Here's a couple things to think about. What I think about when they're working here. They were working away. I told you a while ago, I was about swinging that axe. And, you know, you feel something jiggle on an axe head. When that handle's loose, whether it's a hammer or a mattock or whatever it is you're swinging or axe, when that axe head, you feel something getting loose. And so you'll stop and look. I was talking about swinging that axe back home. We'd play with it or try to split wood with it. What the go devil, just some little axe. And we'd swing a couple times, hit the wood, and we'd take it and we'd bend that handle on the ground like that head, go back on top of it. We recognized it was loose. And what these guys were doing, he was swinging away. He was working, but he wasn't watching. And I want to tell you, the first place we lose our power is when we quit watching. The Bible says this. He told the disciples, he said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. I want to tell you what, you know, when you want to get plugged into the power of God, it's in the prayer room. No prayer, no power. No prayer, no power. That's the bottom line. So I want the touch of God on my life. You find it in the prayer room. Nowhere else. You can read every book under the sun. You can do every gimmick under the sun. You can practice your lesson. You can read it, quote it frontwards and backwards. You can know every note, all four parts on the choir songs. You can play the piano or instrument perfect. If you ain't been to the prayer room and plugged into the throne room of heaven, there is no power. You want me to tell you what kind of Christian you are? You want me to tell you your character is a child of God? You tell me it's what you are in the prayer room. And that's sad, sad truth. But the lost prayer calls for a lost axe head. Lost purity, I'll call that. Sin. Sin creeps in. The Bible tells us in Titus 2, for the grace of God to bring us salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Sin. You can't live in sin and live with the touch and the power of God on your life. You want me to give you an example, a good biblical example? I knew a guy in the Bible, he was so strong. He could take the gates of a city, carry them on his shoulders and take off. He could take a jawbone of an ass and slay 1,000 soldiers with that jawbone. But one day he laid his head down in the lap of a harlot, and he lived in sin. And boy, she took his power. Bible says he got up to go out and fight and knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. Anybody know who that is? It's by the man by the name of Samson. And I want you to know that's real tonight. That power, you can lose your purity, lose your power, but sometimes you can lose your purpose. Now, I'm going to give you a little supposition right here. I'm not saying that this is the exact case, but if it's not, it still works. Think about this situation. When they came to Elisha at the start of this discourse, and they said, let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place where we may dwell. Verse 1, he said, the reason we'll do this, he said, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Now that word straight caught my attention. It means narrow, tight, or troublesome. Now if you read back into chapter 5, you'll start off with a great story. It starts off with Naaman, the leper, went to the river, dipped 7 times, God healed him just at the word of Elisha. He offered payment to Elisha for what he had done, and Elisha wouldn't have it. Well, Elisha had a fellow, an assistant, by the name of Gehazi. And Gehazi followed after him and lied and said he changed his mind. Give me this, that, and the other. And what happened is he lied. Judgment fell on Gehazi, and God made him a leper. And so this is hanging over these men's head, over their minds. Remember what happened to Gehazi. And they may be thinking, this place is a little too narrow for us. Maybe we don't need to be quite as close to this man of God. We may need a little distance. I think of Matthew chapter 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many would go therein, or many are they which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. We're walking on a narrow road. And it might have been they were trying to escape what that man of God was hitting in the pulpit. It may have been he may have hit on Gehazi's sins, and when he hit on that sin, they said, well, I think he's meddling. I don't think that's any of his business. I don't think he's got any right to go that far. His ways are good for him. His standards are good for him. I mean, he's from a different day than we are, but I think we're going to go just a little different direction. You understand what I'm saying? And I want to tell you, that kind of attitude, they lost their purpose. They lost hold of where they ought to be. And it cost them their power. But why they lost it? You realize that, how to get it back. Realize that it's lost, why you lost it. But here's how you get it back. Rely on the Lord, because He's the one who can help you get it back. When he cried out, he looked, Elisha came. And he asked him where it was. He told him, it fell off right here. And what did Elisha do? Went to the spot, and the Bible says that he cut a stick and he threw it in the water. Doesn't that remind you of those waters of Marah, where the waters were bitter, and God showed Moses a tree and he cut the water? Ain't but one place to get cleaned up and get fixed up where you can get your power back, and that's at Calvary. Aren't you glad the Bible says, who in his own self bare sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. That's the healing that's talking about, getting your power back. You got to admit you're wrong and let God cleanse you and give it back. But the last thing I want to mention, here's what happened. He put the stick on the water, and the axe head, Bible says, the iron did swim. It came to the top of the water. Now, I don't really know the real significance of that. I know what water is. Moving water, I believe, is a type of the Holy Ghost. And still water is a type of the Word of God. But either way, for him to get the power back, he had to go along with the Word and go along with the Spirit. I know that. But I think about it. It came up and he said, reach and get it. That's all he had to do. It wasn't coming to him. He had to reach and grab that axe head and bring it to him. I've decided this. I thought about this today. This is a little etymology. I think in order for him to get that axe head back, he had to go at least knee deep. Amen, Brother Bill? I believe you had to go at least knee deep. And I'm going to tell you, I believe if you're going to get your power back, you're going to have to go knee deep. You're going to have to get back in the prayer room and get your power back. It's available, but you got to make that move back to get it. Would to God, would be like this man. I've lost my power. I've lost my axe head. But word of day and time, it's all right. I can make it without it. I'm going to tell you what, if you're making it without it, you're not touching, you're not reaching, you're not accomplishing anything for God. If you want to accomplish anything for God, you need the power. Have you lost your power? And I can't answer that tonight, but you need to ask, have I lost my power? Think about where you've been. Think about where you are now. Where's your axe head? Where's your axe head? Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I come to you tonight in Jesus' name, and I do thank you for your mercy. Thank you, God, for your help. Thank you, God, for truth. Thank you, Lord, that it ministers to our hearts. And Lord, if we'll take it like a medicine, God, it'll lift us and it'll work in our lives. And I pray, God, that you'd move, God, even as I've prayed today, God, done soul searching on my own as I've looked at these scriptures. God, I desire your touch and power on my life. God, I desire your touch and power on this church, on my pastor and this people. God, when the choir sings, God, I want your touch on it. God, we want to see our loved ones saved. We want to see all these results. God, we're going to get the power. And I pray, oh God, that you'd just stir some hearts. God, you'd touch those that maybe can remember a time in their life when they were walking where they ought to be. They were swinging the axe, God, and making an impact for the glory of God. I pray you'd help us just to submit ourselves to you. Thank you, God, for mercy. Thank you, God, Calvary still works. Thank you, God, you still cleanse. Thank you, God, that you still restore. And I praise you for that. And Lord, I pray you just take these words and use them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Errol's going to play for just a minute. If God's